right, so let's go. Let's go. Here we go. So we're in the middle here of some amazing things over here in the Sefer Achinuch. Actually, for years, I didn't know that the Sefer Achinuch actually said this point. I mean, we talked about that 600,000 people is the amount of thought of ways of seeing the world that are possible. It's Mefurish here in the Sefer Achinuch, just like that. He says that that there had to be 600,000 adult males shu cheshbon akol kol deis bnei adam. That essentially, whoa, Yosef Bentley, the chassan's here? Is Yosef Bentley here? I think I just saw Yosef Bentley.
Shalom aleichem, Rabbi.
Yosef, I tried you so many times before your chasna. Where are you? Mazel tov. I wasn't able to get through. I think I tried.
Yeah, I called, like,
whatever.
I
back, I'm so happy.
I was playing phone tag with Rabbi like a few the whole time before. Then my college told me she like put the phone down. So I'm like, I have no problem.
How you doing?
I can honestly say I've never been better.
All right, it should always stay that way. Mazel tov, mazel tov.
Oh, man, thank you, Abby.
So exciting. Okay, so we're going to dedicate this year to Rabbi Yosef and his new Eishes Chayil. They should build a beautiful Bayis Neman B'Yisrael.
Amen.
Okay, so we talked about here, the Sefer Achinuch says that there are 600,000 ways of seeing the world, and we mentioned that's why when you see 600,000 people, there's a special bracha, Baruch Chacham Harazim, a bracha that said, actually, on seeing that Hashem could make so many different people. The Sefer Achinuch says, not the Sefer Achinuch, the Gemara in Bracha says that that's why people don't look the same. Everybody looks different because everybody's different. Now, how this works exactly, I'm not sure, meaning all of us think differently, but yet it seems to be that we have a Kabbalah of sorts that there are only 600,000 perspectives. So how do we deal with that? It's a good question. My only attempt to answer it is that perhaps the idea is that there are 600,000 full perspectives, and then every one of us is variations of those 600,000. I think that's the appropriate way to answer. Is there a good connection today? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so now we're moving forward in the Hakdama of the Sefer Achinuch, and he says, Va'atim yiton aleinu mesis asher levavo ponim im Hashem alkeinu. Let's say we have a troublemaker who's trying to get us away from Hashem. He wants to argue us out of Har Sinai and all these things. And he, Yomer Malacha Ish Yehudi V'Kabbalascha, you Jew and your Kabbalah, you were accepting the Torah at Har Sinai. Umalacha Lishol Avichov Zichenecha, what are you asking all these old fogies, their opinion, all the earlier generation? Drosh b'daitcha tov. You know how to think. V'amiksvarosecha. And you're a lamdan. You think you need these people from previous generations? You're an intellectual. Think about things the way you would understand them. Amazing. This is in the Sefer Achinuch. He's telling us that you know, there's always that feeling like, hey, why do I have to be told things from these earlier generations? I know more. And this is the concept in the world called progressivism also, which is they had brains, I have brains. We have more things today. We have more technology. We have more knowledge of the world. And I want to decide things for myself. Look at the world. Tnuah Sagalgo, all the astronomy, Arbi Yisodesh Ba'adama, Nim Tirva Tavin Talumas Chachma. You could understand things. Go to a college, get a doctorate, Ubisich Lecha Chakor, V'tomara Echadech Yach Yecha. And you'll understand everything for yourself. That's a very interesting point, right? And it's something that also eludes us. we don't understand why we can't do this on our own. Why do we need to focus on the Masorah and all of this? In fact, I like to quote Reb Baruch Ber in his Hakdama to Birchas Shmuel. They bring from him that he held that Ari Schwimmer, I can't see your face. It's bothering me. So I need to see Ari Schwimmer's face. So what is it that the Goyim even have Yiridas HaDeiros? He writes in a big Kaddish, the Goyim even have Yiridas HaDeiros. Everyone can show their faces. I don't mind if people are wearing t-shirts and hats, and it's a trip, so it's all good. Don't think it's disrespectful. There we go. Okay. So even the Goyim have Yiridas HaDeiros, and that... Why don't they know about it? So it's fascinating the reason why. Reb Baruch Ber writes, they have no record of the greatness of their ancestors like we do and of their Masorah. They just have, you know, a basic historic accounts. But if they would really know how great their ancestors were, the Goyim were, they would even know that they have Yiridas HaDeiros.
The whole world. Great they are. They just think they're greater.
What's that?
They know how great they were in the past. They just think currently they're greater now.
Right, but the way we're understanding, meaning that may be true, but that's not called great. I'll tell you, because in our idea of what it was, the people at Har Sinai, we don't even, the Vilna Gaon, said that we can't even understand the Baal HaBos in this man of Beis HaMikdash. We can't even understand who he was. We don't even have a way of even fathoming somebody at that time. The Goyim have no concept like that of greatness. They don't understand that people were greater, essentially. I should say it like that, greater. Not even just greater. If they're a malach, then we're like a ben adam. We're a class below. We're like donkeys. We're not even like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair, but like a regular chamor. Meaning the Goyim have no concept like that, that their ancestors are in a different stratosphere than them. I mean, who could imagine how big Nimrod was? I mean, Nimrod was like an Avodah Zarah. He was mamish. Who knows? If we were living at Migdal Bavel, I'd be scared to be around Nimrod. I mean, he was a big person. Today, it's true we have a lot of nuclear weapons, but we don't have big people, right? Imagine Bilam HaRasha, scary people, big, big people. Paro. Paro was a big man. I mean, we can't understand Paro. The Zohar explains that Paro was asking all sorts of questions in Kabbalah to Moshe Rabbeinu about Shem Havaya. I mean, who's going to do that today, right? So these were very, very big people. Very, very big. Goyim were big back then. What's that, Yoni? One more time.
Sorry, Rabbi. Sorry to interrupt. If we're saying that we have Yiridas HaDeiros because you say it's from Matan Torah or from the Avos, what are they like descending from? What do they have that made them so special back then?
That's an excellent question, and I think that the answer is that ultimately from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, who is the father of all of mankind, was somebody that was Yitzir Kapov of Hashem. He was actually made by Hashem in adult form. If you could imagine such a fully developed person, in all ways, more than any being could ever be, being that when the Malachim saw him, they thought he was a god. They literally wanted to worship him. And Adam HaRishon, the Ramchal writes that after Adam HaRishon messed up, he plummeted, right? And mankind looks much, much different now. But imagine how big he probably was back then, even after he fell. I mean, he probably, he was still he was still made by Hashem. He was still very impressive. And this slow derision, this slow decay of mankind is a form of Yiridas HaDoros as well, that they just, the further they get from the beginning of time, the lower they get. And one of the major Yiridas HaDoros is the attitude towards religion. Religion was something that was an accepted part of society, and people could not live without a higher power, without accepting that there's a higher power. And even though it's called Avodah Zarah, that's still a level of sophistication of understanding how the world operates. Today, people do not, they're not willing to live with a higher power, and it's coming from a certain inability to change, inability to see further than yourself, and a lack of desire to accept the implications of having to do anything with your life. So definitely there could be a Yiridas HaDoros from Adam HaRishon himself, for sure. That's something to think and think about. It's a good question, because it's not from Matan Torah, that's for sure. But the Goyim used to be much more complex than they are today. Okay, so he's saying,
Rabbi, what's the reason for that? Is that because the way we grew up, like, let's say someone just, like, sheltered his kid, could he skip Yiridas HaDoros?
Ooh, it's great to see you, first of all. How are you?
Good question. Yes.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
You look great, Baruch Hashem.
Thank you.
So that's also a very good question. What exactly happened over here? What made the Yiridas HaDoros? I think just in general, the distance, you know, kind of like distance itself from when you have something that's really perfect, and then over time it has a child, and then it has a child, and then it has a child, it's getting further and further away from its source. So the further you get away from your source, the more problems and kinks they're going to be. So Klal Yisrael had a Matan Torah. He had at Har Sinai, but the Goyim never had that. But they just kept going and going. And the further they get from their ancestors, the further they connect with any of that. But again, I want to make something clear. This is very important. When I say that the Goyim were bigger, I don't mean that they were necessarily better. They were just as bad. They were just more sophisticated in their mishas. It's a very important distinction. They were more complex people, much deeper. They had much more to offer, but to the bone. Donald Trump doesn't know how to do that, right? He doesn't know how to do that. How do you wage a war against Hashem? You have to really know it. Doing, and the Zohar talks about, you knew exactly what it, so I don't, we're big, bigger is a good word, much more complex, but not better people. The word Yiridas HaDoros, I know, I'm glad I'm clarifying this, might make it seem like the Goyim were on a higher level. They were more powerful, much wiser, and understood the world much better, but not that they were better people. In some ways, I guess their greatness could have made them worse, because they really knew how to mess with the system. They were, you know, Paro, you can't compare what Paro knew how to do and what Nimrod knew how to do, what Bilam knew how to do, what Haman knew how to do. Haman was a Chacham Gadol. Haman knew exactly how to mess with the system of Hashgacha Pratis and how to really get things going. And he was almost successful, almost doesn't count, Baruch Hashem. But Haman knew exactly what he was doing. So when I say that these Goyim were bigger back then, I do not mean they were better people. I mean they were bigger. They were scary, scary individuals. Is that clear? Does anyone have any more questions on that before we continue?
Was the Torah more clear to, like, like the Gura than like Reb Chaim? Like, how is that, like, he, like, it's not like he doesn't, how could he not believe more than like?
Not only is the Torah more clear, not only, who's asking this question? Who's asking this?
Gershi.
Gershi, not only is this an excellent point, but I want to tell you something, and Reb Chaim would agree with me. Not only is the Torah different, it's mamish. You can't even compare Reb Chaim to the Gra in anything. There's almost, I don't want to say it myself, but Reb Chaim would tell you that Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Torah, we can't even compare it to the Torah of the Gra, not even similar on any level. It was like a different stratosphere. It's so hard for us to understand that. What if Reb Chaim knows Kol HaTorah Kula? But imagine someone knowing something, all of it, but in its outer shell. All of it, but in its outer shell, and then maybe a little more inner and inner. But then imagine someone who knows everything, who's in and in and in and in. That was the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon actually was in the heart of the matters. He was in the heart of the matters. I mean, we can't understand what the Vilna Gaon had. Reb Chaim Kanievsky would tell you the same thing. Reb Chaim Kanievsky would tell you the same thing. And if you want to really even see it, you can read certain things that the Vilna Gaon wrote. You won't even understand the sentences. The Vilna Gaon wrote in half sentences and in codes, and the Vilna Gaon would have thousands of pshatim a minute, thousands of pshatim a minute, you know, literally. Imagine someone who everywhere, thousands of pshatim, like this. I'm making effects on my camera. Imagine just chidushim after chidushim. If you would have a million years, you wouldn't be able of the Vilnius. So, back to that. Where is he on the bus? Is Dobie Perkal on the bus? Dobie Pfeffer? Where are these guys? Are they around? Yoni Greenberg, are those guys on the bus?
I think they went in a car, Rebbe, separately.
Oh, tell them they're missing out when they come back. Arye, how you doing?
Amazing.
Okay. All right. Let's continue. So we're here, and now something our journey over here in the Sefer HaChinuch, that why can't somebody try to figure things out on their own, right? Why not try to figure things out on our own? So he says like this, Nashav Elav, we should respond to these people who are trying to take us out of the Torah. Still today, they don't understand all of these phenomena. I once read an article from a neurologist. He said it'll take us 100 years to understand the human brain. It won't take us 100 years. They'll never figure out the human brain. The reason is because the human brain is connected to the neshama. It's the arrogance of this person that he said it's going to take 100 years to understand the human brain. That's arrogant. We sounds like humility. Oh, it'll take 100 years. Oh, you didn't say we already figured it out. No, they'll never figure it out. Every year, by the way, they're coming up with different studies about what's good for you. You think they exactly know? How do they figure out that broccoli's good for you? Because they notice that people who have lower sugar levels, let's say, and they ask them in a questionnaire, they don't eat broccoli, they eat broccoli. So then if 50,000 people who eat broccoli have low sugar level, so then the broccoli is good. And that's a valid type of proving things. That's called empirical proofs. But a lot of these studies even change. First, they thought that margarine was good for you and you should stay away from butter. Then they found that the trans fats in margarine actually caused people, Rahman al-Salam, to get heart attacks. All those poor people in the 80s who were eating margarine and margarine and margarine were actually clogging their arteries. So that's Ari Schwimmer, wake up! Ari! Wake up, Ari! There we go. Look alive. There we go. I see you're looking out the window.
Rebbe, what does that mean that the neshama is tied together to the brain?
What it means is a lot of times the way we even intuit how our thought process works, you know, it's like things pop up in our brains. All the things in our brain, the consciousness, the decision making, it's almost like there's a flow from somewhere else. We don't even know where it is. Science today doesn't know where these things are from, what's called the rut zone. Science knows after you want a piece of chocolate cake, they can watch, oh, this causes the salivation, the pituitary glands, and this causes the digestive system, the enzymes to get going, and this causes the heart to race. When he sees a piece of chocolate cake, his heart starts racing, right? But they don't know what makes you want a piece of chocolate cake. Why do you want a piece of chocolate cake and he wants tuna fish? Why do you want to be a doctor and he wants to be a teacher? Now, of course, there's what's called nature versus nurture, but at the end of the day, even people in the same family, in the same school system with relatively similar friends, right? And there are all sorts of things in the realm of rut zone, which remain a mystery, which is what makes you want something. That's where the neshama is. The neshama is in the area called Ratzon. Actually, the gematria of the name Shmo, which is Hashem's name, is Ratzon, the will. The deepest thing we know about Hashem is his will, that he willed the world. And the deepest thing we know about ourselves is our will. So science, that's why neuroscience, as fascinating as it is, it's really a fascinating science, the study of the brain. But they'll never be able to crack all these different things. Really above the brain. The rut zone is above the brain. I think Rav Aryeh Kaplan, I remember when I was your age, Yoni, so I was reading Rav Aryeh Kaplan's readers, and he has a beautiful essay on this, something like The Real Me or something like that, where he talks about this point about rut zone not existing in, oh, Dovi Perkel's here. Dovi! Good to see you. Dovi, where are your
trip? Thank you. That's why I didn't come on. That's why I didn't go on.
wait, but Dovi, did you hear the schmooze last night?
Yes, that's why I didn't go on. That's why I didn't go on the schmooze right away, because I forgot my titsis.
No, but now it's good. You got your own personal schmooze just now.
Thank you.
Wasn't it worth it?
It was really, really good. It was a beautiful speech. Thank you.
Okay, good. It's great to see you on. Stay on. Don't worry about this. Anyway, so the rut zone of a person is above their brain. So there's so many things that science can't tap into. They're not going to know all of the various reasons for Rav Yerucham brings from the Mekubalim, Yoni Greenberg. This is an interesting point. Rav Yerucham says to somebody who is very arrogant, you seem to know everything about... you seem to know everything about the world. Tell me why the animals, the swans have white bellies and black bodies, right? Who knows that? Who can even understand that? What happened? I think we lost the island. Did some people leave? We just lost half the group, I think, unless my thing is broken. Did the guys get off the bus?
No, we're still here.
Yeah, but it dropped. It dropped by 5 or 6. That's the problem with Zoom. You can zoom in and zoom out. Okay, but Dovi, I'm happy you're with us. Anyway, so we don't know anything about the Bria. Do we know why certain parakeets are red and certain ones are blue? We don't know anything. So that's the story for today. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.